This is normally the bit where I sit down and relax, but not today. Oh, so many things running through my head that I just say, and you know, we can all come out with nice little things, but I just want to concentrate on especially the way we worship this morning, because the way we worship this morning sums up what I'm going to say. And I think lots of preachers say this, but I mean this from the heart, that I am speaking to myself first in what I say this morning. So, you know, if it speaks to you, that's great, but I know God's been speaking to me. I've just read a book, for years I've had some CDs called God Chaser CDs, and I listened to the one particular one a lot. Fantastic worship. It must have been anointed at the time, and the anointing comes through. It just filters through every time I listen to it. And recently I acquired the book, The God Chaser, by Tommy Tenney. So I've entitled my little sermon this morning, Be a God Chaser. I make no apologies for pinching his title. But that's what we all need to be this morning, God Chasers. And one of the first thoughts that came to mind about being a God Chaser, it was actually in Tommy Tenney's book, so I'm not going to, you know, take credit for it. But if you had a good father, or if you had a good mother, and if you had somebody that played with you when you were a child, think about now that you played tag. Perhaps you played it with other friends, perhaps not a father, but specifically I'm thinking of a father this morning, where you chase your dad and he just keeps out of reach. He's doing it on purpose. He could let you catch him, but he just wants you to seek after him. So you chase him, your dad, and you're laughing and it's fun, and he's laughing with you. And I really feel that that's how God is this morning. He laughs with when we laugh with, and he loves us to chase after him. But you know, there came a time with this person in your past when you were a child that you nearly gave up because you couldn't catch them. They were bigger than you, they could run faster, and you nearly gave up. But just as you're about to give up, the father turns round and lets you catch him. Excuse me. And he holds you in his arms and he hugs you, and you know that you're loved. You know that you're secure, and you know that you're cared for. And that's just how I see it with God. You know, he doesn't, I suppose in some ways, he doesn't make it easy to get to know him. You know, because he's Almighty God. He's a big person. It's not easy to get to know him. But the point is, we have to chase after him. We have to seek him with all our hearts. And if we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him. He will allow us to catch him. He'll turn around and catch us. That's the main thing. I was going to read from Moses, but most of you know the, not from Moses, from Exodus, about Moses, but most of you know the story where after Moses had led the people out of the Egypt, and they hadn't got to the Promised Land, but Moses had to go up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, in a nutshell. The thing is, when they came out of Egypt, Moses and all the others had seen absolute fantastic wonders. God had done miracles, God had kept them, God had fed them, God had, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. God had done so much for them, so they'd been blessed abundantly. But Moses wasn't satisfied. He asked God if he could see his face. And of course, God said to him, you can't see my face because you'd die. And in this book that I read, it actually says we have to die to be able to see God's face. And not literally, as Moses would have died literally if he'd seen God's face when he asked, but today we have to die to self to see God's face. But Moses was told by God, you can't see my face. But he did the next best thing. He said, hide in the rock, I'll cover you with my hand. And I've never thought about this before, but he said, I'll cover you with my hand. You know, God is so fantastic that he can make his hand small enough to cover a man, but big enough to create the world. I think that is just amazing. But he covered Moses with his hand, and God passed by. But where he took his hand away long enough for Moses to see God's glory receding. You know, it was fading in the distance. It wasn't the fullness of his glory, because he couldn't behold that and live. But God allowed him to see some of his glory. And we, today, through Jesus, I believe, can have the fullness of his glory. You know, we can see the fullness of his glory. As Andrew was saying earlier in worship, you know, God's doing something special here. And, you know, you're blessed to be part of it. Even if you're just on holiday, you're blessed to be in on what God's doing here. I'm not saying he's not doing things elsewhere, but, you know, he's really doing something special here. Right, I haven't looked at my notes yet. That's good, isn't it? And when this happened with Moses, as I say, he wasn't satisfied with just the gifts, the blessings, the miracles. He wanted to see God's face. And so God gave him as much as he could. And God describes himself as the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And I'd just like to read 2 Chronicles. You can turn to it if you want. 2 Chronicles 7. I'm going to do a few small readings this morning. I did put pieces of paper in, but that one must have slipped. Found it. Verse 14, and it's a promise. There's lots of promises in the Bible, and you know, read your Bible, because God promises us so much. And we need to take hold of what he promises us. But there's always, you know, a proviso. Right, 7:14. Everybody knows this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. This is what I'm majoring on this morning, to seek his face. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. One thing that struck me about that verse is that he says, and heal their sin, not their sins, because our sins are many. But God doesn't see sin, you know, in different degrees. He will heal, he will forgive our sin. And I just wanted to elaborate on it. You know, my people, it's up to us. You know, not the people out there who don't know him, it's up to us. And you know, we're going to have a day of prayer soon, and we're going to be asking God to forgive us for what the world's done out there. Because they can't ask for forgiveness, they don't know the Lord. We have got to stand in the gap for them. We've got to say, Lord, forgive us. Even though it's not something we've done, do you see what I mean? And so if my people, God is saying, my people, you know me, you know the truth, the way, the life. My people who are called by my name, we're called by his name. And I remember saying this once in communion. Whatever name God's given you, that's the name that you're called by. You know, loved, cared for, safe. I believe those are names. Not just the name of God, but those are God's names. And he gives each one of us a name that is appropriate to where we are. Humble ourselves. Now, I get thrilled when people confirm the word, and Julia prayed that she was so humble to be in God's sight this morning, and that's what we have to do. We have to humble ourselves. And I thought I wrote things down to go with it, and I'll find the words now. Being humble, it's I've missed a bit. It's what I was just saying. We humble ourselves to take on responsibility for the world. To say to God, we're sorry, even if it wasn't something we did. To humble ourselves and pray and seek my face, seek God's face. That's been coming through all week with me. Seek my face. Moses asked to see God's face, but God is telling us now, seek my face. And then he will hear from heaven and will forgive the sins of Spain, the sins of Britain. If we pray on their behalf, he will hear from heaven. He will forgive their sin and heal their land. In Every Day with Jesus, one of my readings was on Sunday last week. It's called God Was in Christ. And I'd just like to read you a little bit from here, because I think it's appropriate. A little girl said that God, this is how she saw God. God wanted to destroy the world, but Jesus wouldn't let him. I sort of laughed a little bit when I read that, but then I thought it was sad. And also, another account, this is in this word here, a lady whose husband was killed in a car accident, or in an accident, said if he had come home fatally wounded, she would have fought with God to save his life. Both of those ideas are wrong. And I myself, as a young Christian, Andrew knows too well about this, my brother-in-law, I'd only been a Christian, a couple of years, my brother-in-law dropped dead playing a game of squash. Age 28, two small children. And I can remember saying, God, if he'd been killed in a car accident, I could have blamed the driver. But who do I blame? I took it to the pastor, thankfully, because I thought God had taken him. But God doesn't do that. We don't know why things happen, but God is a merciful God. I'll just read you what the response to those in Everyday with Jesus were. It says, sadly, many have the idea that God is reluctant to help us, and that prayer is a means of overcoming that reluctance. It is not. It is a laying hold of his highest willingness. This image of God as being vengeful is banished when we see him reflected in the face of Jesus Christ. God and Christ are one, and in their compassion and love and self-sacrifice. God wants the best for every one of us. When Jesus came, Jesus did say, God, I better go and sort things out. God knew from the beginning of time that he was going to send Jesus. On the next page, I think it says that there's a cross in God's heart from the beginning of time. Because he knew. And Jesus was willing to come. So it's not, you know, Jesus asking God to help us. God sent Jesus. Jesus came. And then when he left us the Holy Spirit. We are never left without help. So that is a wrong concept of God. God is not a vengeful God. He is a loving God who cares about each one of us. The more we seek God's face, the more we will understand just how much God loves us. And I'd like to read this. I'm sure you all know this one as well. John 3:16, famous verse. I had to learn this to be a counsellor when Billy Graham came to England. I think as Christians it should be one of the first things we memorise. So if you don't know it, commit it to memory. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he was willing to send Jesus. He's always loved us. His passion is that we love him and know him intimately. I'm just going to read Philippians. Paul says in Philippians 3:12. I've got mine all mine. What I'm trying to get across here when I read this one is that we are on a journey. We're all at different stages in that journey. But Paul says, not that he's already attained or already perfected, but he presses on that he may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of him. I've just put it in the person. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. It's the pressing on. It's the pressing in. We're not there yet. But we must press on, pursue intimacy with God, and we will be caught by him. I'd like to just read from Matthew 5. At one time, this was going to be my sermon. It's the Beatitudes. But then I decided, I felt the Holy Spirit changed my mind. But I'd like to just read. And as I read each verse, I'll just explain a little bit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Basically, we're blessed if we see ourselves poor spiritually. Get rid of self-dependence, because that's what really that is saying. When we depend on God totally, he'll fill us with his spirit. While we're self-dependent, we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. So to be poor in spirit means we need more of God's Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Repentance. Cry out to God with a broken heart. Yes, it does mean for those who mourn for loss of loved ones, but also mourn for loss of knowledge of God. Repent. Come before God repenting and cry out to God with a broken heart. And that doesn't, it's not wrong to have a broken heart. Let our hearts break before God. Just as Mary broke that alabaster box and gave all she had for Jesus. Let's break our hearts for God and give him all we have. Allow ourselves to be emptied of us and filled with him. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I see that as a discipline in ourselves. Discipline ourselves to read God's word and pray without ceasing. And we covered this a while back. Pray without ceasing. How can we pray without ceasing? It's easy, actually. You know, I take the dog a walk, I talk to God. I go to the bathroom, I talk to God. I wake up in the morning, I talk to God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. We can give thanks all the time. We can talk to God all the time. There's no time, apart from perhaps when we're asleep, when we don't talk to God. But even then, we can have visions and dreams while we're sleeping. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. I sang weeks ago a song off that Tommy Tenney thing. I'm hungry for you. When I wake up in the morning, I need you there. When I lay my head to rest, you're there with me. That's how we should be, hungry and thirsty for God. And I don't want just a cup of water from God. I want to jump in that river and swim. Be totally immersed. And just be totally immersed in God's love. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We need to be merciful. I need to be merciful. I need to have the God type of mercy for others. We need to love those who hate us, who spitefully use us. It's not easy, but when we look at what God's forgiven us and his mercy for us, how can we not be merciful? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Check our motives. Why we do things. Why am I standing here this morning? Oh, just to give God the glory. That's okay. That's pure. I'm not saying I'm pure, but you know what I mean? Check your motives. Why do you do things? If it's for the glory of God, fine. If it's for your own gain or your own glory, pray to God about it. Do everything for God's glory. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We all need to be peacemakers. We should find peace in every situation. There must be a way of finding a bit of peace in every situation. Some situations look so horrendous, you don't know how you're going to find peace in them. But God and Jesus gives us the enabling through the Holy Spirit. Love peace. If it is possible for you, it says somewhere in the New Testament, to live at peace. If it is possible for you. And in Christ Jesus, it is always possible. 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For righteousness' sake, for Jesus' sake. If we're persecuted for Jesus' sake, if we're persecuted because we've done a shoddy job or we've been rude to someone, that's our own situation. But if it's for the sake of the gospel, if it's for the name of Jesus, then we're blessed. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. I've personally had that situation where I've had things said against me falsely, and I'm sure most of us have. And I, at the time of the one situation, I went to a pastor who I trusted, and I said, what do? I want to write a letter, I want to complain. He said, God will vindicate. God will deal with it. You shouldn't deal with it. So, leave things to God. We're blessed if we, you know, put up with things for the sake of the gospel. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Great is your reward in heaven. I do believe we can experience heaven on earth, but a lot of the stuff that we've stored up, godly stuff, the gold and the silver, we will get the reward in heaven, and praise God for that. God chases. They're willing to chase the uncatchable, knowing the impossible would catch them. Let's join with Moses, Abraham, David, Paul, and many more. I could have written some real big names here, Wesley, all those sort of people, but even us ordinary folks, let's join with them and seek after God. To seek first his face and his glory, and everything else will follow. And I just want to read Matthew 16, 24 and 25. And Jesus said to his disciples, now these are Jesus' words, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I want to lose my life for Jesus, because I know that the more of me that dies and the more of Jesus that lives, the more my life will be worth living. You know, I know that I can be happy being a Christian. I know that I'm happier than I've ever been being a Christian. When I was in the world, I wasn't happy. I did all the things that you do, enjoyed myself, but basically there was something missing. It was Jesus. And I want to lose my life more and more to be able to follow Jesus. What does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? Nothing. The only life worth living is a life totally surrendered to God. And in closing, and I am closing, I'd like to read from Philippians again. Philippians 3:10, just before the other reading I read, it says, that I may know him. I feel that so much. I've underlined that bit. It says, there's more to it, but that I may know him. This is Paul saying, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. When Paul wrote that, just before that, he said how he was a Jew among Jews, zealous, he knew the law, he was clever. He had everything, but he counted it all as filthy rags, as rubbish, compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus, that I may know him. Everything else means nothing if I don't know Jesus. My main thrust today was initially to say seek God's face, but I've ended with knowing Jesus. But to seek God's face, you have to know Jesus. And when we know Jesus, and when we live for Jesus, and when we seek after him, when we chase after him, we see God's face in Jesus. And that's my word today. Just seek after God, be a God chaser, and he'll let you catch him. Amen.